it's just neat to see how not only the reaction of those that we've spoken to, the people here around our communities, but also the impact it had on us. It kind of opened our eyes a little bit just to exactly the need of a Christian in our neighbors, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our towns. And really, the testimony is pretty much almost preached my message. So turn with me, if you would, to Jude 22, second to last book in the Bible. The book of Jude is a very small book. It doesn't even have more than one chapter, and it's only got 25 verses. But it's a very important book, very impacting book. And verse 22 is also a very small verse. It's not that large, but it's got a lot of truth in it. In verse 22, the Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Verse 23 says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hitting even the garment spotted by the flesh." Tonight I want to focus on verse 22. "And if some have compassion, making a difference." And I just want to focus on that verse tonight. Let's go to Lord in prayer, then we'll dive right in. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your blessings. Lord, thank You so much for giving us a wonderful week to be able to show our neighbors that, Lord, the love that You have for them through us. And I just pray, God, that You'd bless the message. Lord, that You touch hearts tonight. And Father, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. "And if some have compassion, making a difference." Probably the first thought that might come through your mind is, how in the world can we make a difference with compassion? What is compassion? Why should we have it? What's the point? And the word compassion, there's a couple of definitions for it. The first definition that I found, it's a deep awareness of the suffering of another, coupled with the desire to relieve it. Or it's the ability of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. Basically, in a nutshell, what compassion is when you see somebody that's going perhaps through a hard time, maybe they're just something you know that's happening in their life, and maybe the Lord puts them on your heart. And you know, and He tells you specifically what to do. And He may use you to be a blessing. You have no idea what people are going through. We have no idea. When people go through their doors at nighttime or throughout the day, we have no idea what happens behind those doors. There's a lot of heartache, a lot of agony that people, our neighbors, are going through that we have no idea about. But when we have compassion on somebody, what it is when God speaks to your heart and says, "I want you to do something for somebody." Oftentimes, it's sometimes a little bit of a financial expression. Could be just writing somebody a letter and just saying, "Hey, just want to let you know you're on my mind and on my heart. I want to let you know I'm praying for you. If there's anything that you ever need, just let me know." Same thing with calling somebody. Sending a text in the morning to say, "Hey, thought about you this morning, praying for you. If you need me, just give me a call." Compassion is actually doing something when God puts something on your heart about somebody. Compassion is one of God's greatest attributes. We all know that God is a God of love, a God of holiness, a God of justice, but He's also a God of compassion. Compassion is what caused Christ to do many of His recorded miracles. In the book of Matthew, He fed the 5,000. In the book of in Matthew 20, He made the blind to see. Mark chapter 1, He cleansed the leper. In Luke chapter 7, He raised the widow's son. In Mark chapter 5, He healed the Gadarene demonic. These are just a small portion of what, when the Bible actually says, and Jesus had compassion and did a great miracle. And oftentimes, these were people that there was no way they could ever repay Him. They had no way of ever repaying the miracle that Jesus bestowed upon them. And yet he loved them enough. He saw their brokenness. He saw their need. And he did something about it. Compassion shows someone that you truly care about them. Compassion is how the world can see a real Christian. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And John's testimony there, he pretty much preached my outline. John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. The Bible says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." At this point of the Scriptures, Judas is gone. Jesus dismissed him to go betray him. And now Jesus is remaining with his 11 disciples. And this is pretty much the last intimate time that he was going to be able to have with his disciples before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. So this was almost like the highlight of what Jesus wants to tell them before he goes to the garden. In verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's very unusual of a commandment that he gives the disciples. For one thing, it's the exact opposite of what the world does. The world's mentality is everybody out for themselves. It doesn't matter who you step on, it doesn't matter who you hurt, as long as you succeed. As long as you are the one that comes out on top. And Jesus was saying, you know what? I'm giving you all a completely different philosophy, a completely different commandment. I want you to love one another. I want you to take care of each other. I want you to meet the needs of those around you. He said, and when you're doing that, and when you're showing this love to those around you, people are going to see that it's different. And they're going to see that, and they're like, why in the world are they doing that? Why would they do something for me? I would never do something for somebody else, especially for a complete stranger. Why are they doing it for me? And that's when we get an opportunity to give them the gospel. Because probably before we got saved, we probably would have been in the same position. You know what? You know, I would have been selfish before I got saved, but God gave me a new love for people. Gave me an opportunity to love on people. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you do something unusual like that, of giving a voucher to a complete stranger, they look at that and they wonder, why in the world is this person giving me this? What's the catch? What's the angle? What are they trying to get from me? And then you can say, you know what? There's no catch. Just want to be a blessing to you. Just want to tell you about a Savior who changed my life. That's the whole reason why we need to love each other, is because it gives us opportunities to show Christ, to show God and the redeeming power that He has given our own lives. Oftentimes when we gave some people those vouchers, and their first reaction obviously was surprise. You know, they're like, why are you trying to give me this? You know, because they weren't expecting it. But then just to see their reaction, and then all of a sudden, you know, the surprise turned to interest. And they're wondering, okay, so you're being a good neighbor. You know, Jesus had told you to be a good neighbor. But there's got to be something more to that. And you get an opportunity to read the gospel leaflet. And we have no idea the impact that one little gift, that little act of compassion could have upon somebody. We have no idea. We probably won't know until we get on the other side of eternity. Not only does compassion is how the world can see a real Christian, but we also need to stop and smell the roses. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. This is a story of a man by the name of Bartimaeus. He was a man that was born blind. Verse 46, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Here's a story about a man by the name of Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside begging outside of Jericho. And all of a sudden, you know, he starts hearing a commotion in the horizon there. He obviously has no idea what in the world's going on. He just hears a loud tumult of voices and something happening, because there's a lot of people coming down that way. And he probably asked somebody, who is coming down this road? And they said, "Well, it's Jesus. Jesus is coming." And by this time, Jesus' fame has probably spread throughout the area, and Bartimaeus has heard of him before, heard of some of the miracles that he's done before. And so he has no idea who Jesus is, what he could even possibly look like, what he even sounds like. And so out of desperation, he just starts calling out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he just started crying out and crying out. And as Jesus and the disciples and those with them began to make their way down the road, the Bible says here in verse 48, "And many charged him," that is Bartimaeus, "that he should hold his peace." I like to call these the fringe disciples. These were the ones that were following Jesus because he was a very popular person. And they just wanted to see some of the miracles, but they really weren't paying attention to what he was actually teaching. These were just men and perhaps women who just, you know, they wanted to see what was going to happen that day. And so they hear this blind, wretched-looking man sitting on the wayside, begging, absolute filthy, wretched. And he's just crying out at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they just think, "Who is this guy? Why in the world is Jesus has no time for him?" And so they tell him, "Bartimaeus, why don't you stop yelling? Don't worry about what Jesus, you know, he's not going to help you. You know, you're not worth his time." And I'm glad that Bartimaeus didn't follow their directions, their orders. Instead, the Bible said that he started crying out louder, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He started crying out even louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And I love verse 49. The Bible says, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. When he heard Bartimaeus crying out for him," the Bible says he stopped. I'm sure they had a lot to do that day as they were traveling out of Jericho. And when he heard that desperate cry of help, pleading with him to do something, Jesus stopped. And he made time for Bartimaeus. He called him and said, "Go and tell his disciples, bring him to me." This week, we had an opportunity to make time for our neighbors. Oftentimes, we do have busy schedules. We have routines. And it gets very easy to get into a mold. You know, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this, and repeat every single day. And oftentimes we can live next to our neighbors and have never met them for years. Never, you know, not even know who their name is, what their name is. If they have children, well, sometimes you know they have children because they can cause quite a bit of a racket, you know, or they're maybe a bit of a problem. But we really have no idea who they are. And I hope this week was a challenge to you to maybe make some more time to get to know your neighbors. I think time is, God has given us, what we have with our life, a short period of time. It's an investment. It's being able to do something for someone. And I don't know about you, it's also kind of interesting that throughout this week, it seemed like time flew by. You know, we had, I know, like, when come Sunday morning, I had, I saw the checklist. I'm like, oh, I want to do that, and I want to do that, and I want to do that. And come Friday, Saturday, looked at the list again. Oh, I didn't get a chance to do that. I want to do that, but I didn't get a chance to do that. I wanted to do that, but, and it seemed like just time escaped. Sometimes it was, couldn't have been avoided. But sometimes it was just because we got back into that routine, got back into that mold, and completely forgot about it. Until all of a sudden, like, oh, it's the Good Neighbor Sunday. I got to do something at least. And, but the thing is that people remember what you did. They may not know, gave things to people they had no idea who they were. But I can tell you one thing, it gave honor and glory to God. Because they saw a real Christian. They actually saw somebody that went beyond themselves to do something for them. And I'm sure it probably blew their mind. And they probably went back home and maybe they told their spouse, you know what? I was just, in the market today. And somebody came up and gave me a voucher to get a coffee. I don't even remember who they were. But they gave me this tract. They gave me this leaflet. And I read it and I don't understand really what it means. But maybe I should go and find out. We have no idea what God can do with what we've done. I can tell you this, it did plant a seed. It did plant a seed in their heart. And we have no idea just what one little act can do. Jude 22 says, and if some have compassion, make no difference. We saw a little bit about what real compassion is. It's more than just a feeling. I've got a feeling I should be nice to somebody. Real compassion is an action. It's actually doing something for somebody. The Bible says making a difference. Does compassion really make a difference? Does it make a difference? And I can tell you tonight that it does. Because I would not be here had people not showed compassion upon me. I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. I wouldn't be here in Ireland. I wouldn't have the wife that God has given me if it hadn't been for some compassion that people shown upon me. You see, I grew up in a lost home. My father was an alcoholic. We never went to church, never really believed in ever having to go to church. And but we were taught and raised that as long as we were good, that we'd be able to get to heaven. And so I said, as a young teenager, well, if that's all it takes to get to heaven is to be good, then I'm going to try to be as good as I can. And so in high school, I stayed away from drinking and drugs and partying and all that stuff that I saw what was going around, and I said, I want to try and be as good as possible. And during that time, I became very proud because I was a very good young man. You know, most people would say, man, he was, you know, he's very, very good reputation. I mean, academic. I mean, he was just very, just a very outstanding young man. And I became very proud in that fact. And, but when I came to church, I didn't have no need for that. You know, I would never darken the doorsteps of a church because I didn't think I needed to. I didn't think I had any, what's the point? You know, if there's nothing really there anyway. I mean, I had believed that in Jesus up here, that He was the Son of God, but there was nothing in here. And God had to bring me through a very hard storm. When I was 15 years old, my younger sister, she was at school one day, and she was standing next to a door, and someone bumped into her, and she fell upon the door handle. And she hit it pretty hard and, you know, jabbed her in the side. And we didn't really think of anything at this time. She was 9 years old at this time. And she, you know, obviously it hurt her. But within a couple of weeks, her stomach began to swell up. And, I mean, it became as large as a full-term pregnant woman. Her body began to shut down, and we knew something had happened and something was wrong. And so they took her to the hospital, and they found out, they did an exploratory surgery to find out what the cause was, and they found out that she had cancer. When she hit that door handle, it ruptured a tumor inside her that we had no idea was even there. And so they removed as much as they could at that time, and so they started to put her on chemotherapy down in the University of Michigan. That was the storm and trial that my family entered. We had no idea how to even go through it. Oftentimes, it felt like we were just trying to keep our head above the water because we had no idea how to even go through something like that. And as we were going through that time, about a year after she was battling the cancer, her best friend had a burden on her heart to reach my sister because she knew that if my sister were to die, she'd go right to hell. And so she invited her to come to church. She actually went to Grace Baptist Church, my home church. And my sister came. She heard the gospel that morning in the children's church. And she wanted to know more about being saved. And so she trusted Christ as her Savior that morning. When she came back home, I noticed that there was something drastically changed about her. But I didn't know what it was. And so instead of going there and finding out myself, I stood back and watched. It was during this time that the church family found out about my family. Until that time, they had no clue who we were. We were just another name in the community. But they began to show these acts of compassion, just loving on my family. And I saw that, and I began to think, wow, there's something different about these people. And that's actually how I met my wife for the very first time. Her mother was my sister's Sunday school teacher. And so she came over and visited my sister and brought Jennifer with her, and that's how I met her for the very first time. Anyway, during that time, my sister did end up passing away. And at her funeral, my wife invited me to come to a missions conference. I told her I would come, and so I came, brought my mother with me, and came that whole week. God began to work on my heart. I began to come to church, and I just, God was bringing me under conviction. And then on Sunday, November 14th, 1999, the Holy Spirit started bringing me under deep conviction. He said, if you don't come forward and trust Christ as your Savior, you're never going to see your sister again. He had to be that pointed with me. And that broke the pride that was around my heart, thinking I was good enough to get to heaven myself. And so I went forward that day and trusted Christ as my Savior. I had no idea that day what God would allow me to to do now. And through her trial, I saw real compassion, real Christianity. People had compassion upon my family, and it made a difference. Not only am I saved, I'm here before you today, but my mom trusted Christ as her Savior a month after I did, and my father trusted Christ as his Savior a year after that. people would think that, oh, it's just such a tragedy of what your sister went through. It was, but I know where she's at. She's up in heaven. But because of that, several people are saved. And I've been able to tell my testimony all across America. And I know people have gotten saved from it. One act of compassion can change someone's life. And I challenge you tonight, extend this Good Neighbor Week. I know we're not going to have a competition, but I challenge you this week to extend the Good Neighbor. Think of others throughout your daily life. And when God puts somebody on your heart, do something about it. You have no idea how that could change their life. It could be life or death for them. And I just want to leave that challenge with you tonight. Let's go ahead and bow. Actually, stand with me if you would and turn to your songbooks.